Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
So let's do this!
Okay!
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Chernobyl.
I knew you were going to use that one.
We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is Time Pop. I called it too. I was like, I think this will be the one time Ari is going to be ahead of me on my time track. Because I couldn't do Hot Tub. I mean, there's no way I'm doing that.
Yeah.
You know me better than that. We watched Hot Tub Time Machine, released March 26, 2010, at 101 minutes, rated R, directed by Steve Pink, for whatever that's worth, starring John Cusack, Clark Duke, Craig Robinson, Rob Corddry, Crispin Glover is back with us fantastically, Lizzie Chaplin, and of course, Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to add as far as facts go is, God damn it, this soundtrack rocks.
Yeah.
I love me some Crew, man. You have no idea how right up my alley that is. And then everything else, like so many movies, when they go back to the 80s, they like stick to something. They're like, we're going to be all rock, or we're going to be all pop, or we're going to be all alt music. And I loved that they moved around. They had some Public Enemy, David Bowie, Talking Heads, and again, right in my 80s wheelhouse, Poison.
Yeah.
so great. So when did you watch this?
What's today? Wednesday. I watched this on Monday night.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I assume Scott watched it with you.
Yes.
And how many times have you seen this? You seen this just once before?
No, I think I've seen this twice before, so this is my third time.
About that, for me, this was a very interesting watch because I've been really busy, and you know, it kind of like I kept having to remind myself, oh, I gotta watch it. And then I basically rented it last night, and it's been running on a loop in my back house for the last 12 hours.
Wow.
And some of that has been muted. Like it was on in the background while I edited Star Trek First Contact, and I fell asleep to it last night. And then so I caught the beginning, of course, a lot last night. And then today I sat down and watched the last hour very closely to try to put it all together. So I still might sit down and watch this tonight. This, I think Will might enjoy this. Kelly, it might be fun for Kelly if we just relax. So I might watch this one again.
Has Will seen it before?
I doubt it. I'm sure he's seen lots of memes and YouTube videos about it, but he probably hasn't seen it from A to Z. And I was a skier back in the 80s too, so this was kind of fun for that. I could see all the everyone on the mountain wearing those clothes. I lived that life for a little while, so that was a lot of fun. This is a really good comedy.
Yeah.
We'll get into how good of a time travel movie it is in a minute, but it's weird. I've been kind of digging up old comedies to watch around the boys, just something that I enjoy that they'll tolerate. And rated R comedies are, I forget how surprisingly rare they are. I always forget how much they try to PG-13 comedies to make them family watches.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, the only other comedy time travel movies that exist would be Back to the Future. Are there any other comedy time travel movies?
Oh my gosh, I didn't think about that. That is a rare.
But if you think about it, it fits really well, you know, because time travel is not really a thing. And so turning it into a comedy works. You know, both of those movies are great. This one and Back to the Future.
I guess I'm trying to go through the list of what we've done. Frequently asked questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's something. on the comedy aspect for sure.
Because I think too, I think as soon as it's a comedy, you almost have to reference other time travel movies or the existence of how you understand time travel. And I think to steer clear of that, you have to be a little science serious.
Yeah. Speaking of referencing other time travel movies, we watched Endgame with Zoe over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she just wanted to watch it. She was like, I want to watch this again. And so we watched it again. And it's such a great movie. And they, of course, reference every major time travel movie. They're like, wait, so Back to the Future is not correct? Back to the Future lied to us, you know? No. So it is, yeah, time travel movies like referencing other time travel movies.
Did she actually sit through that whole movie?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Way to go, Zoe.
Yeah, she loves that movie. It's a great movie, you know? It is.
Maybe I'll have to watch that tonight, too. I could probably talk Kelly into that one pretty easily. Yeah, this one has some great references. And I love that not only do they mention it, but they use it to actually explain time travel. They actually incorporate it, whereas Endgame is like, none of that is real. This one kind of brings in a bunch of movie references and are just like, I guess I needed to pay more attention to Time Cop.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, but it also, you know, it almost feels like it's piggybacking Back to the Future in a sense, you know, with the style and the comedy and the 80s, obviously, and then, you know, having the part from, what's that guy's name?
Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
As Phil.
Yeah.
And I barely caught it on my last watch through when they're in the bar betting. Rob Corddry apparently introduced himself as McFly.
Yes, yes, yes. I totally rewinded it at that point. I was like, did he just call him McFly?
And I thought I missed something too. I was like, did I totally miss something? But I love that they just kind of paved over it and you have to infer that that's his alias. All right, Ari's getting ready. She's tying the hair back. The overview is coming.
It's coming.
This will be, I'm very curious to hear this overview.
Really?
Well, it's because... I don't know. I'm just going to let you do your thing. I'm just curious how you're going to go.
All right. So this movie is about three guys who were really good friends in high school. And then they all grew up to kind of be just your average Joe guys that don't really keep in touch as much as they used to as adults. And one of the three friends has an incident involving car exhaust in his garage. What's that character's name? Bez is my names guy.
Lou,
that's right. Lou. How could I forget Lou?
Motley Lou.
Okay, so he's in the hospital and they contact these two friends, the other two guys. And they go and, you know, they're all suspecting that he killed himself. Because he's just been a very unhappy person. And so to cheer him up, they're like, we're going to go to this ski resort we used to go to in high school. And we're going to have a great time. And we're going to bond and party. And it's going to be great. So they go. And this place was apparently the happening place in the 1980s. 86 to be exact is when they were in their prime and their heyday. And when they get there now, it's a total ghost town and it's depressing and dilapidated. And they stay there in their room, in the same room and everything. And the room happens to have a hot tub.
And also, I'm sure everyone has already watched, but along with the three friends... John Cusack or Adam's nephew, Jacob, is right, along with them as well.
So John Cusack's character, he has a nephew who lives with him. And so for the weekend, he's making his nephew go with because his nephew is a nerd who stays in his basement playing video games all day long.
Second Life, to be specific.
Yes. So he's like, you have to come with. Maybe you'll get a chance to talk to some girls. So he comes too, and he does not get along with Lou, the guy who tried to kill himself, because Lou is pretty much an asshole.
Pretty much.
Just pretty much an asshole.
And a proud one at that.
Yeah, like he's just not a nice guy. Angry, bitter, asshole. Okay, so the four of them go to the ski resort, and the hot tub is gross and broken, and there's a dead animal in it. And then all of a sudden they go back inside and come back out to the hot tub and it's fixed and glowing and ready to be used. So they, what?
Skinny dipped in.
Skinny dip, yeah. So in preparation for this wild weekend, Lou has brought an entire briefcase full of drugs and drinks. And
no.
Wasn't Lou?
No, that's not until they get their luggage from 1986. I mean, of course, they've brought lots of booze and a little bit of weed on this trip and the Chernobyl, but it's not the Hunter S. Thompson suitcase doesn't show up until 86.
Okay, you're right. So, but the Chernobyl is in, Lou brought the Chernobyl. Okay, so I guess it's just in his regular backpack, Lou brought something called Chernobyl, which looks like a Red Bull can. And apparently it's like a Russian Red Bull that is illegal in the States because it's got some weird stuff in it.
It's got nitrotranium.
Yeah. Is that a real thing? Probably not.
I'm going to look that up, actually, while you go ahead and continue.
Okay. So the four of them party in this hot tub and proceed to get very drunk and very wild. And the Chernobyl can gets spilled onto the mechanics of the hot tub, and there's electricity and spinning. And when the night is over and the next morning, they all wake up and we find out that they have been transported to 1986.
Magically.
Yeah. Magically. Yes. Through the hot tub. So they discover that they are in 1986 through a series of events, and they discover that, or they talk about that they have to do the exact same things that they did last time they were here, or they might mess up the future.
So not only are they in 1986, but they're in their 1986 bodies as well.
That's right. So when they look at each other, they look the same, but everyone else there sees them as their high school selves.
And they must, are they in high school? Because I know they do say something like, well, nobody cards here, so it doesn't matter.
Maybe it was college.
Because I was thinking about that later with all the partying they were obviously doing the first time through. They must have been 21, but I don't know. I was trying to figure that out towards the end of my last watch and
how old they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll solve that mystery. They're young boys.
Yeah. They're either seniors in high school or they're like freshmen in college or something like that. So they each have their own thing that they have to do exactly the same as 1986, or they're afraid they're going to mess up the future. But of course the nephew looks exactly the same because he didn't exist then. So he still looks like himself and he's probably in his early 20s, but there's a couple of scenes where he starts to flicker, you know, showing that he's not supposed to be there, or he's impermanent and you know, not, yeah. So
he's Marty McFlying a little. Well, no, I guess that's different, but it's the same theory.
Same theory, right. So the things that they have to do, John Cusack's character has to break up with his, I think it is high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
And she stabs him in the eye with a fork or a spork or whatever it is. I just know him as Daryl from The Office. Yeah. What's his name in the movie?
His name in the movie is Nick.
Nick. Okay. Nick's character has to perform a mediocre band on stage and then sleep with a groupie.
Yes. It's what he has to do.
He has to do that. That's what he did back then.
Right before this, just to set this in motion, they meet Chevy Chase, who is the repairman. And he comes in to fix he comes out of nowhere to fix the hot tub. And he says, wow, this one's a really special one. Something's broken. And his quote is, he says something to the effect of, if you change one little thing, this remains broken.
He's like this magical guy that just appears out of nowhere and gives them very vague warnings about what to do and what not to do as far as getting back. Like, if you change anything, it'll mess things up and you have to get the time machine working again by a certain time or you'll never be able to get back. So is that where they figure out that they have to do everything exactly the same?
Yes.
Okay. So Chevy Chase warns them that you have to do everything exactly the same or it'll all be messed up. So one of them has to break up with his high school girlfriend. One of them has to do a performance on stage and sleep with a groupie, even though he's married in the future. So he has issues with that. And Blue, the mean one, has to get beat up like 4 or 5 different times by the bullies.
By the ski patrol.
Yeah, the ski patrol cliche 80s bullies. Like, he gets beat up like many times. So they all have to do that again. And as the day goes on, Lou gets beat up. Nick does the performance and sleeps with the girl, even though he's crying through the whole thing because he doesn't want to cheat on his wife, even though apparently she's been cheating on him.
Yes. Well, he doesn't. Adam, John Cusack does not break up with his girlfriend this time.
Except for John Cusack doesn't break up with the girlfriend. He thinks he's going to do it later.
And then Nick, Office Nick, he doesn't sleep with the groupie. He starts to, but then he calls her the wrong name and she leaves. And then he doesn't do a mediocre performance.
Oh, yeah, he does a good performance.
He does an amazing performance. Because what happens is, so as they go out, they're like, okay, we're going to go out and do everything the same. And Adam chickens out on breaking up with his girlfriend. So when they meet back up, everyone else is like, well, fuck you then. Like, if you're going to change stuff, like, I had a shitty performance. I got beat up. If you're not going to break up with your girlfriend and we're screwing up the timeline, then I'm going to go beat those guys up and get laid. And I'm going to have the best performance ever. So then they go back out to just fuck it all up. And that's when Adam decides, okay, I'm going to right my wrong, and is sitting there thinking about trying to break up with his girlfriend. Then she breaks up with him.
Right.
And he gets really pissed. He's like, what the fuck? You stabbed me with a fork and the whole time you were going to break up with me anyways. And then he's cussing her out because he's so mad. And then she stabs him with the fork anyways.
There is one point, though, which is important. The morning that they wake up, the first morning that they time travel and they get there and they wake up, Lou, who is so hungover that he throws up on a squirrel. And this squirrel is important because it comes back later on. So he vomits on a squirrel. And so then they go through all these things. And yeah, they basically say, fuck it, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. I'm not going to do what I was supposed to do. And let's see, at some point, John Cusack's character meets another girl, a woman who's a reporter. They're reporting on Poison, who's there performing, and he like has like a moment with her and
a meet cute.
Thank you. It's exactly what they had, a meet cute, and they had a little adventure where they broke into someone's house and she's clearly into him, but then she has to leave. And Lou's character gets beat up again because his friends forgot to show up again to back him up for the big fight, so he gets beat up even more. And there's a moment where, I'm sure I'm leaving stuff out, but there's a moment where they're on top of a roof and they have like a, you know, Lou is like, you guys weren't there for me. You haven't been there for me for 20 years. I did try to kill myself. You know, your friends, what happened to us? And then they all start to fall off the roof, but then they're saved by the creepy bellhop guy because he still has both his arms.
Yeah, when we meet the bellhop at the beginning, he's got one arm. And so now in 86, he's got both arms. So they're all waiting to see the incident
of how he loses the arm.
Yeah. So this whole time, too, Jacob, the nephew, is running around. He is the piece of sanity because this is, not only is he not born yet, but this is 9 months before his birthday.
Oh, yeah. He figures out that his birthday is in 9 months. So his mom, who is there, happens to be there because it's John Cusack's little sister. She's also there at this weekend and she's a total slut bag.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So he knows that, okay, she must sleep with somebody and get pregnant. And so he has never known his father. So he knows that his father is there that weekend. So he's like trying to run around and figure that out, I guess.
Mostly he's just trying to right the wrongs. He just figures if he rights all the wrongs, then his mom will, whoever she's supposed to.
Right.
He's just trying to hold it together.
Right. And the mysterious hot tub man has told him that they have to be back in this hot tub by by the next morning or they'll be stuck there. So he's trying to get that guy to fix the hot tub.
This quote I did write down. I don't know what happened to the other one, but he says the party is over at dawn.
Oh, yeah, at dawn, that next morning.
And he does figure out that he somehow figures out that it was the Chernobyl. He's like, I can't fix this because something got into the circuits and messed it all up. So whatever messed it up the first time, you're going to need that same additive to screw it up again and write your fix this.
So they have to retrieve the can of Chernobyl that was taken by the patrol bullies, the 80s bullies that beat up Lou. So they got to go retrieve that can. Some other weird things happen. Like at one point, Lou and Nick are in a bar watching an old football game. And they're like, wait, we know what's going to happen. Let's start betting everybody here because we know who's going to win and what's going to happen. And they're making all this money. And then there's the final play of the game. And they say it's going to happen exactly like this. And the other person that they're betting is like, I bet you that it's not. And you see on the TV that it's going to happen exactly the way that it's supposed to. But then it doesn't because there's a squirrel with vomit on it that runs onto the field, messing up the game and ending it differently than it did in the past.
And John Elway doesn't become John Elway, and he doesn't own multiple car lots in Denver, and everything has changed forever.
So, yes.
The Drive.
The Drive. Is that like a well-known thing?
Yeah.
The Drive. Okay, where were we? So
they're retrieving the Chernobyl from the ski patrol.
Right. The hot tub is fixed. They just need to get the Chernobyl. They are like, let's get back in the hot tub.
But I know we're racing towards the end, but while they're doing that, Adam's sister and Lou get busy.
Right. So they've been having this like flirty, abusive.
He's an asshole. She's a bitch. They're made for each other.
Yeah. So they end up sleeping together, and while they're in the process of doing it, the nephew and John Cusack walk in the room and stop them, and all of a sudden the nephew vanishes out of thin air, and at that point Lou realizes, I'm that guy's dad. So they continue to do it, and the nephew reappears out of nowhere, and you know, he finishes, obviously. And so then they all get back in the hot tub, or they're about to get back in the hot tub. They pour the Chernobyl on the mechanics of the hot tub again, and they're all about to get back in. And Lou says, there's nothing back there for me. I'm not going back.
I was trying to kill myself.
Oh, that's where he said it. He didn't say it on the roof. He says it right then.
Oh.
No, I think you're right.
I think he does say it right then, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I go back, I'll just try again.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing there for me. And John Cusack's like, okay, then I'll stay with you. And Lou says, you know, that's all I needed to know. And he pushes him in the hot tub so that the three of them go back, but Lou stays. And they come back to the present. And there is a video waiting with a video of Lou, who is filthy rich on a yacht because he has invented all great things in the modern world, including Lugol, not Google, but Lugol. He also invented Motley Lou.
Yeah. I love that video, too. That is the Motley Crue video. Like, I saw that video 1,000 times, and they just edited him right in where Vince Neil was. Like, that was a magical little edit for me. And then he's married to Adam's sister. They're still bitchy with each other. I don't think he mentions anything. I know he talks about what else he might do in the bar, but I think Lugol... Well, it's then what everyone else does. So Nick comes back, and Nick is a famous record producer.
Well, okay. So here's the biggest hole with this whole thing. He stayed in the past and he changed the future. And when the three of them get back, all their lives have been changed because of Lou. So Nick, who was in the band, he is now a famous record producer, right? And John Cusack's character, I don't know what he does for work, but he is now married to that one girl that he had the meet cute with. But the thing about all this is they don't remember any of it. Like John Cusack...
Oh.
yeah. drives up to a house that they had directions to. He's like, this is my house? Like, and he walks in and the woman's there and he's like, this is who I'm married to? They have no memories of the past 20 years that Lou has changed.
Yeah, you've become a famous record producer for the last 20 years, but you don't remember any of the mixing tricks that made you awesome.
Yeah. You don't remember that you met your wife and married and lived in this house. And it's like, good luck trying to, you know, navigate 20 years of memory.
Well, we're just going to have to watch Hot Tub 2.
Yeah.
See how they do it. I know I've seen it a little bit, but I don't think I've ever sat through Hot Tub 2. But maybe they get into that. Well, I think they get into a lot because Lou does a lot.
Yep, it's a happy ending. Lou is happy and successful. They're all happy and successful. And that's it.
Nick is happily married because right before they left 86, he called his 9-year-old wife and cussed her out and called her a cheating bitch. And she remembered that phone call and decided to not cheat on her husband 20 years later because of it.
Right. Yes.
We're going to get into some holes in a minute. Let's try to figure out some laws first. Let's try to build this piece of paper so we can poke some holes in it. So it's magic.
It's magical.
It's magic. It's
Russian magic.
It is. So I looked up that word too. It's where did it go? I said it wrong the first time, and it definitely only exists for this movie.
Yeah, it's not a real thing, right? The ingredient that makes them time travel.
Nitrotrominium. And yeah, it's not a real thing.
Yeah, okay.
And it's super magical too, because when they first get there and they look at the hot tub, it's got a dead, it's empty with a dead possum in it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's full of water and it's beautiful and it's golden. And
yeah, but that wasn't because of the drink.
No.
So the hot tub is magically fixed because of the mysterious hot tub guy, Chevy Chase. So is it because of the hot tub or is it because of the Chernobyl? Because the hot tub was magically fixed anyway. And he was like, oh, it's a special model, blah, 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 blah. So it needed two things. It needed this magical hot tub and its magical hot tub man. And it needed the illegal drink for it to work. Because it wasn't just the hot tub on its own.
Totally. I was just mentioning that just to add even more magic into it. Like if the hot tub was a hot tub when they got there, then it was just the drink. But yeah, the fact that the hot tub basically exists through magic that then. So yeah. So Chevy Chase is definitely the architect of some sort. It's been a long time since I've watched a movie I wished was a half hour longer.
Really?
I have a hunch that some of these little things are probably explained. Like I bet there's a few more scenes of Chevy Chase maybe explaining, and I can see why they cut it out for a comedy. It doesn't surprise me, but this movie also dabbled enough in time travel that I could see them filming those scenes and then them hitting the editing room floor to move the comedy along. The one I noticed was when Crispin Glover saves them off the roof, they cut and he's all of a sudden driving them to the party to steal the Chernobyl back. There's definitely something said by Crispin Glover that got cut out. Like it's one of those edits that's just a half a second too late. And you can see Crispin Glover about ready to go into his monologue or something. And then they just cut. So that definitely led me to believe that there's, you know, the Crispin Glover and the Chevy Chase character probably got cut out a lot. And I would love to see some of those scenes.
It was a combination of this magical hot tub, you know, one of a kind, and this illegal Chernobyl drink.
And here's the weird thing, too, because it's room 420, the room they always went to. The hot tub is magical. They not only do they get transported back in time, but they get transported back into their bodies. But when they first get there in 2010, I think one of them, and it's not Jacob either. If Jacob said it, and maybe I'm wrong, if Jacob said it, it would make sense because he's never been there. But I swear one of the older gentlemen says, oh my God, there's a hot tub. Like it was installed in the last 20 years.
Yeah, they made it seem like they were shocked about the hot tub, meaning it wasn't there in 86. So.
Yeah, because if they were partying in 86, if they were drinking in that hot tub in 86 and drinking in that hot tub in 2010, you could see in this magical world how they got transported back into their bodies somehow.
Yeah.
And that could have been, I mean, obviously, we're not going to unplug this holy hot tub, but that would have been an easy way to like, okay, I see how they got mixed up in there.
Yeah. I mean, it must have still had a hot tub in 86.
Yeah.
They had to have.
Must have been Jacob. Maybe it was Jacob that was like, oh my God, there's a hot tub.
Yeah, it must have been. That's the portal. So other laws of this movie is, yep, when you get transported back in time, you go into your past body, right? So that there's no paradox of running into your past self.
Yes.
It's almost as your consciousness travels back in time, but your body doesn't.
And then the majority of the movie is explained when Nick does a huge line of coke and says, it's just like the Terminator. When John Connor sent Reese back in time to save his mom, to have sex with his mom, but if he doesn't send John Connor back, then John Connor can't be. And then he goes on this rant. They're like, exactly. Yeah, so it's totally there. Of all the time travel stuff they mentioned, this is the Terminator paradox.
Yeah, what they chose.
Ish. So is Lou, does Lou ever mention anything about having sex with Adam's sister before?
No, it's almost as though he forgot. Like, they make a point to show certain things that they forgot. Because, you know, this was 20 years ago. And so Lou was like, I remember I had sex with some chick, but he like couldn't remember. And then at one point he's like, oh yeah, I slept with your sister.
Okay. So he was always Jacob's dad. And that would make sense after getting beat up. This is one of those movies too, where people do insane amounts. So when they come back to 86, the two-armed bellhop delivers their 1986 luggage. And Adam has a Hunter S. Thompson like suitcase full of booze and drugs. And later on that night, he starts to do all of them. Now, he doesn't do all of them, but he does a little bit of everything. So, including a ton of mushrooms. And then like 2 hours later, he's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone's drinking copious amounts of, like, the bulk of this movie takes place in about an 8 hour period. And in that 8 hour period, they consume a criminal amount of narcotics and alcohol, but they still just function just fine and stay alert and awake and all that stuff. So that's the biggest hole for me. That's not even a science hole. You just can't get that f-ed up and then finish your night normally.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the major holes with this is it's a ripple effect, you know, it's a butterfly ripple effect, but except for when it comes to your memory.
Yes. And as Lou pointed out, butterfly effect, great f-ing movie.
Yeah. They reference butterfly effects and, you know, they're afraid of changing something because it might mess up the future. And then Lou goes and changes everything.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, there's no like other major holes.
So it is. Sorry, I got this on in the background real quick. So it is Jacob that notices the hot tub, but the rest of the guys are still kind of like, oh, cool. Like you would have thought that like there's a, you know, that would have been an easy thing to add to like on their drive up. Like it's room 420. We got a hot tub. It's so cool. Yeah. So not major holes, but just a couple little things that could have been fixed with two lines of dialogue.
If I remember correctly, Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is also really good.
I know I've heard that. I don't remember seeing it, but I've never heard anyone say anything bad about it. When did it? How much later was it? Okay, 5 years later.
Yeah, we should watch it.
We might have to. Yeah, we might have to do that sooner than later to build on this. That'll be a fun one. Yeah, this is a good movie, people. While you're in quarantine and you're looking for something to watch, time travel lovers or not, throw this on, especially, you know, when were you? I don't know if you want to out yourself. What year were you born?
83.
Okay. So you experienced a little bit of the 80s.
No, I don't remember the 80s. Well, I was too young and I was also living in another country. So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. For me, all I know about the 80s and experienced was what you see on TV.
Yeah, I was born in the mid 70s. So the 80s is my decade. So like you, I don't remember the 70s at all. It never happened.
Yeah.
But I was aware and awake during the 80s. Thank you for listening to Time Pop, brought to you by Sounds Awesome. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of this movie. Please check us out on social media. We are at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram, and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. You can email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. We would love to read your thoughts aloud on air, and definitely let us know about a movie you would like featured on a future episode. We have three great movie podcasts: Rotten Popcorn, where Scott and Dez discuss films with vast differences between fans and critics based on Rotten Tomatoes aggregation; and Apocalypse Now, where Scott, Callum, and Dez talk about apocalypse-ish movies about society going through a difficult situation, not unlike the one we are currently living through. Want to check out some non-movie related podcasts? Check out All the Answers. You have questions? The Record Keepers have answers. Cassidy and Katie have sassy comments. Who are the Record Keepers? You'll have to listen to find out. And our newest addition to the Sounds Awesome family, Truth Not Trends. Liam Bauer and Jesse Schmidt have a combined 35 years of strength training, and they are here to keep you strong, fit, and motivated through these difficult times. Please visit our website at whatsoundsawesome.com to find all these fine podcasts, or just search Sounds Awesome in your podcaster of choice to find these fine shows. Please rate and review. And now, back to the exciting conclusion of this episode. So, I think that just leaves one last question, Ari. You get in a hot tub?
Do I get in the hot tub and go back to a time when I was younger, in my younger self? Yeah, I probably would. But I would be so, I would want to change so many things.
Yeah.
I would do or not do so many things if I had to go back to my like 21-year-old self. But the issue with it would be you would change all these things. And then when you go back to the present, everything's changed, but you have no memory of it.
Yeah, we touched on that for a second. Let's go back to that for a minute. That's
a big deal.
That's a big deal.
At least they had Lou, who lived those 20 years, and he could fill in major important things that they would have to know, like, you know, wedding dates and major life, you know, events. But if you didn't have someone who could fill you in on the 20 years or however many years you travel, that would be a big deal.
Because why did these guys go? So if they're coming back to their bodies, why would their bodies be at this resort in 2010 when they returned? The only reason they went to that resort was because of Lou. They're trying to save him. So if Lou's pimping it on a yacht, then I guess Lou is the repairman is the architect of the time machine, but Lou is the architect of their life for the last 20 years. Like, he had to have been sheepdogging the fuck out of them.
Exactly.
Like, he would have had to have like gifted them a trip to this lodge. You know, it would have been, I don't know if they might actually do this. It would have been cool if Lou would have invested in that ski town and kept it awesome.
Yeah.
That would have been cool if they woke up and there was just everything was open and it was super rad. Because he would have had to have gifted them. Like, at some point, he would have been like, hey, boys, I can't make it, but here's a couple free nights up at the old place. Take your nephew.
Yeah. And that means that, you know, in those 20 years, their original bodies lived those 20 years, aged those 20 years, had consciousness for 20 years. And then when their traveling selves got put back in their current bodies, it just overwrote that consciousness. So yeah. Oh yeah. Major holes.
I think we should do Hot Tub 2 next. Can you stand it? You want to double up? Yeah. Sure. I really need to see what happens to this world.
If I remember correctly, they don't really address any of these issues. I just remember it being like funny and a good movie.
Well, but I think they have to fix some stuff because I think Lou ruins enough stuff by becoming the inventor of everything. But you're probably right. They probably don't address any of the personal issues at all. But I think they do take a look at some of the larger overarching things that go wrong with Lugal and Litter and Motley Lou. Poor Vince Neil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I probably use this. I use it. let's just get rid of that probably. I use it and I probably destroy my life. Because I would probably go back too much and create so many paradoxes. Well, can you have a paradox?
Like multiple times?
Yeah. Well, because I would go back. Well, I would go back once, probably change something and probably not like what I came back to or not be able to understand it, you know, get back in my body and just be like, what am I doing in Monaco? You know, and then just like, all right, I gotta. Well, I guess if you're waking up in the hot tub every time, it's not like, yeah, that's the other big hole. Like if you, because if you're entering your consciousness, then what is going to bring you back to that hot tub when you return to the future? Because if you're returning to the future and you have to return in that hot tub, then in theory, your present body has to be there. So if I go back and make a bunch of big changes and then get in the hot tub and come here, but let's say that ski resort doesn't exist anymore, do I then enter my consciousness wherever I happen to be? I know these are impossible to answer questions, but
yeah, I mean, that's, you know, a major hole is you've made all these changes, but somehow your future bodies are in that hot tub for some reason. Yeah, it's a major hole. So it looks like John Cusack is not in Hot Tub 2.
Oh no.
Yeah, I remember that now. It's someone else, some other actor that they get to do it somehow. But I still remember it being a funny movie. I don't know.
Adam Scott is in it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because the woman, the meet cute girl is Lizzie Chaplin, who is awesome. And those two are in, oh damn it, what's that show? Party Down. They were in Party Down together. It was a short-lived show slash sitcom-ish thing that was really good and they were really fun together. So that's a good reason to see them reunited.
Cool.
So there we go.
All right.
I guess we'll leave it at that since we're gonna get right back on this conversation in a week.
Yeah.
And we'll solve all the hot tub issues.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thank you, Ari.
My pleasure.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Ariel Galois. Bye. I feel like I need a new outro catchphrase.